Hi, everyone. Is everyone here for the workshop that's starting now about genuine friendships? I just want to make sure that when we hand the handouts, you're here for the right session. Okay. Okay, so these are, you can give them out. Yeah, just one per person. Yes, Dora is handing them out. Okay, let's get started. It's fun to talk and socialize. Sorry that I have to interrupt that. I hope you have many more chances at lunch to chat. Thanks so much for being here, and thank you so much for giving up your Saturday to come together and to learn. Like Rich said, we really, really appreciate it, and we're so thankful for all of you, for each one of you, and for your investment in your own growth, spiritual growth, and also in your relationships with international students. For those of you that you don't know me, my name is Estera Piroșcă, and I'm originally from Romania. I'm the IFI National Training Manager, and I like to be a good friend. I try to be a good friend, a genuine friend, since that's what we'll be talking about. And I came to the U.S. as an international student 12 years ago. And over the years, I've had a lot of genuine friends that really invested in me, that I'm very grateful for. The most recent that I was thinking about this morning is a couple, my husband and I. My husband is from Chile, and we met through IFI Bible study. And very grateful for IFI for bringing us together. He was also an international student. And after we got married, we moved to Grand Rapids, Michigan. And that was really hard. Here we had a family. We had all the brothers and sisters that love us, many of you here, that invested in us. And then we moved away to a place where they say, if you're not Dutch, you're not much. that's what they say in Grand Rapids. And it's true. For like 2.5 years, we're trying to make friends. And, you know, I'm a very outgoing person. And so everyone here was saying, oh, you're going to have no trouble making friends. Well, that wasn't really true. But eventually, we did make some good friends. And in our church, we met a couple that was about our parents' age. And they really became our mentors and really invested in us, really walked with us through some difficult times, difficult journeys in the last 2 years of our lives. And so we miss them now that we moved back to Columbus, but we're happy to be back among friends here. I'd also like to introduce Dora Liu. She's there. She's going to share in a little while. So she'll be helping. Thank you, Dora. And then Shomita, I think she stepped out for a second, but Shomita will also be sharing in a little while. So the three of us will be leading this together. Our goal in this workshop is to explore ways to deepen our friendships with our international friends, specifically by initiating and engaging in spiritual conversations in a culturally sensitive and appropriate ways. And we'll do a lot of interactive things. My goal is to talk little, which is hard for me, but I'll try my best because I want you guys to engage in different ways that you can then use later on. So to get us started, I'm making an assumption that since you came to this workshop, you already have international friends that you're developing genuine friendships with. So would you turn to the person next to you and just share your experience so far in developing relationships with your international friends and engaging in spiritual conversation? So just turn to the person next to you and share for a little bit what your experience has been. So I think all of you could teach this. All of you could facilitate this workshop. But as you're sharing amongst yourself, what questions do you have now? Share with me, with all of us. What questions do you have coming in? What barriers are you encountering? What difficulties are you encountering as you're moving forward and trying to become even better friends, deepen the relationship with your international friends? Throw out some. Yes.
My student is getting a PhD in chemistry, and she's so busy. I'm not sure when to pester her and say, do you want to do this, or whether just how much to leave her alone and not feel like she's
That's good. Thank you. Yeah, business is a reality, especially in students' lives. Thank you. What else? Mm-hmm. Thank you. What else?
I think something I picked up in the last session that I'm thinking more about is the idea of warm cultures, the spontaneity and flexibility, where without thinking about regimen and structure, it's so hard to break out of that and know how to
Thank you. Yeah. Yes.
Family commitments or commitments. Yeah. Where your heart is for the gospel, but it may be that you're committing family commitments.
So you as the family. You having the family commitment, is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Or the student having the family commitment?
Well, we know the students are so incredibly busy.
Yes.
But then I don't know, but I'm speaking for myself.
You were also busy. Yes. Yeah, thank you.
When you hosted a Muslim student, how can as a woman, how can I communicate with him in a way that's not awkward for him and difficult for him? I don't know if that is.
Yeah, it's a good question. Yeah. Thank you. Is someone over here? No. That's good. Anyone else?
Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure if it's too confrontational to ask them at some point if they've had any exposure to a church or a book that is in the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Good question. Anyone else? Mm-hmm. So the generational differences too in connecting. Mm-hmm. That's good. Anything else? Yeah, how quickly do you connect at heart level? Good, yeah. Well, I don't know if we're going to be able to answer all the questions, but I hope some of the tools that I'll share will give you the opportunity to bring up those discussions with your friends, with your international friends. And just thinking more about barriers and things that we put in front of ourselves, myths that we might believe when we're engaging with our international student friends. What are some myths? I listed some that I know I've believed, I've experienced, or I've heard from other people. But what are some myths that we encounter when we're thinking about engaging in spiritual conversations with our international friends? I think you mentioned like how quickly, you know, is it too confrontational to bring up, hey, have you had any exposure to church? So So how quickly, or maybe I should wait? Yeah, go ahead. Absolutely. Thank you.
What did the student say?
He seemed to be okay with it, and he was involved in our culture, cuisine, and conversation dinners last year. This year he's too busy, and you know, it's so easy to take offense at that and go, oh, they just don't want to come. That's not really true. But yeah, he's not, I haven't sensed any real drawing in his life, but that's the way it was.
Yeah. I mean, we don't know. Some, you know, the Holy Spirit works through all kinds of things.
Yeah.
So he could redeem that moment, even though maybe from our perspective was too soon.
Yeah.
But sometimes they're ready, so we don't know.
Yeah,
no. All right, what about some of the other myths or others that you've believed or had these barriers from the...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, kind of culturally conditioned to not bring them up. Mm-hmm. Yeah, praying and listening to the Holy Spirit. Yes. This one.
So years ago, there was a gentleman in our church that always addressed the myth that people were not interested in spiritual things, that that was a bias. So everyone is interested in spiritual things because you have that God and different voice. So I've always remembered that. That is a myth. I fall into belief, oh, they're not interested. Yeah, they've got to wait for the right time as well.
Yes. Thank you. Yes.
The second question about inviting the check to the spoken. We've had a number of scholars and families that have been delighted to come to church with us on Sunday morning, but we've had others that showed no interest in it. It seems to be just sincere about our desire to show them an opportunity, but prefacing that with the making sure they understand that that's no barrier to our continued friendship if they don't want to come.
That's good. Thank you. So there are real struggles and concerns that we all face in our relationships. And what helps me when I struggle with some of these myths or others We're going in our church through a series talking about jars of clay, and that verse really speaks to me from 2 Corinthians 4. You have it in your handout. Could we read it together? But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. Amen. And what that communicates to me, two things. One is that God desires to demonstrate his power through weak people like us, vulnerable, weak, ordinary people like us. And then second, that we carry inside of us this incredible treasure, the greatest treasure in the whole world. The surpassing power belongs to God. That's Jesus. And this is not about us, really. It's about him. And as we carry this and as we move forward in his power, that is the surpassing power, it's not just any power. He is Lord, and he's shown it throughout history, throughout the Bible, the biblical history, and then throughout, even after the first century church and today. And we're moving in that power, and when we move in that power, then it's not about us. And so I hope that encourages you as we continue to engage in relationships with our international friends. So I'll share with you four proven and practical tips on how to engage in spiritual conversations and to deepen your friendships with your international friends. Along the way, we'll share tools that we'll get to practice together. Be a blessing, be a learner, be a trader, and be a storyteller. And the first one, being a blessing. How can we be a blessing? You know, God called us to be a blessing as he called Abraham, and we continue in that inheritance of being a blessing and receiving God's blessing as we move forward. And some might seem simple ways, but we want to make sure that we do them. And that one is acknowledge the person, acknowledge your friend. Sometimes maybe we have something on our mind, and maybe we're just so, you know, we have something heavy on our hearts, and maybe we're kind of, okay, we're meeting today, but then I have this, and I have that, and I have the other. And being in the moment with them is so important, right? You would want someone to be in the moment with you. So being in the moment and acknowledging, hey, how are you? How's your family? And not only acknowledging them, the physical person, me, but everything that I bring with me that you don't see, such as my culture and my family back home or wherever they are. How's your family? How's your mom? How's your dad? How's your brother? How's your sister? Remembering the name of the mom and the dad and the brother and the sister. It's not just the individual that's sitting in front of you. It's so much more that they bring. Acknowledge all of that as you interact with them. My American host family, when I was in Louisiana, when I first came to the States, Miss Tay, she was a wonderful person, and she really got to know my family. She would get on Skype with my siblings. She even sent Christmas gifts back home when I went home. She sent Christmas gifts for me to bring from her for each one of them. And that was such a blessing to me. I couldn't believe it. Like, I didn't expect it. And she just cared in such a deep way. It was amazing. And then blessing them. And when I think about blessing, I think about this picture. You know, Jesus, the way he interacted with these kids, there was a generational difference for sure between Jesus and these kids, right? In Mark 10, when Jesus saw this, you know, the disciples said, oh, go away. He was displeased. He said to them, let the little children come to me. Don't stop them. The kingdom of God belongs to people who are like these little children. Then Jesus took the children in his arms. He put his hands on them and blessed them. And I don't think he did it like a president. Oh, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you, for the photos of the paparazzi, right? I think he actually took time. I think he actually took each one of them in his arms and whispered, prayed for them. I mean, can you imagine to be held by Jesus in such an amazing way and to be blessed by him? That he actually took time to spend with each one of them. I don't even know what came of them, but I would like to find out what came of each one of those specific kids that Jesus held and blessed. And really, he wants to do that with each one of us, if we let him. And I learned recently something amazing about this concept of blessing in the Jewish culture. So the Hebrew fathers, called sin of their children to death by doing the sacrifices at the temple, but he also called their children to life by imparting the blessing. And for them, blessing wasn't just, oh, you're doing great, and you're a great kid, and I love you. It wasn't just moral support, but it was blessing called power down upon a child to fulfill his God-given destiny and to follow his own natural bent, not the one that the parent chose for him. Because that child was a gift from God, and given to the parent for a time. And so the Hebrew parent understood that my job is to invest in this child, to walk in the way that God created him to be. So powerful. So same with us and international students, you know, and you know, with our own children and other people in our lives, taking time to ask questions, to be kind, to be genuine, to get to know them for who they are, the desires of their heart. And also a friend of mine who does international student ministry in a different area, friend of many of ours, he says, whisper words of greatness in the lives of international students. Call them to something higher than themselves. And Rich does that really well. He always calls international students to something higher than themselves. He's done that in my life. And sometimes it's intimidating because you feel like, I can't do what you're telling me. I can't go back and change the world. But whisper those words of greatness and really call out what you see. Again, I so appreciate what you said about the Holy Spirit, because it's the surpassing power that's in us. That's not ours. That as we listen, Lord, what do you want? Even preparing before you meet with the student, Lord, what do you want me to share with this student today? What words of greatness do you have for this student? And it doesn't have to be, let me open the Bible at Exodus chapter 12 and then I'll read with you the words of greatness. You know, you don't have to quote scripture in that way. But listening and sharing what the Lord gives you, so important. Okay, so being a blessing. And then I forgot to add, Shomita reminded me, I know it's implicit, but pray for and with the students, pray for them, pray for their families, pray for what's going on back home, and pray with them. Hey, how can I pray for you? And I learned a cool way of introducing that, maybe if they're not familiar with prayer, or if they come from an atheist background, or like one way that one of our coworkers, he said he would ask, If you would ask God, okay, God, some God, some this kind of, you know, high power, if you would ask God for three things, what would they be? And that's a kind of a cool way, instead of saying, hey, how can I pray for you? Kind of a Christian way of, hey, you know, tell me and I'll pray for you right now. You know, ask God for three things, what would they be? And then they might tell you, and then you would say, well, you know, I serve a God that listens to my prayers and responds. May I ask God to grant to you these things? And then they might say yes or no. But I think it's a cool way of, I've done that before, and the things that people said were shocking because they were very deep. And I didn't expect that. So they say, oh, I want to have more money, I want to have a new car, whatever. And they said some deep stuff about family, about things. I was like, whoa, these people really thought a lot about what they want to ask God for. So it's cool. Second, being a learner. How? Asking questions. Learning to say your friend's entire name correctly. Oh, it's so hard. It's so hard. So Dora is one of our ICEDers, one of our interns. And I recently said, okay, Dora, I don't want to tell your American name. Can you tell me your Chinese name? I want to call your Chinese name. So Xiaoyan. So I said, okay, I'm going to start calling you Xiaoyan rather than Dora, because that's so important. For me, my name is Estera. And people say, oh, is that Esther? And so they might start calling me Esther. It doesn't happen as much anymore because I'm very firm on my name is Estera. And it does mean Esther. In the Romanian Bible, you'll find the book of Esther is Estera. But that's important for me because that's my language and that's who I am, Romanian. So then I appreciate when people try to really memorize, especially my full, you know, with my last name as well. And that's important. It really shows that you care. Being present for and with the students, and I mentioned that, learn to receive. I think it's as important to learn to receive as it is to give. A lot of times I feel weird when I'm invited to Americans' home, but then they don't come to my home. And maybe that's part of, maybe I wasn't very direct in asking that question. Hey, I want you to come to my home for dinner. But sometimes I feel that if I don't do that reciprocity, then I'm the only one receiving all the time. And I also want to give, because I have a lot to give too. So it's important to learn to receive. Learn to receive gifts. Learn to receive whatever they have to offer to you. Another way to be a learner about them and to grow deeper is to seek to learn about their culture and their beliefs, but also about their country and even news about their country. And that's something, again, that I saw modeled in Rich. He would sometimes say, hey, I read this about Romania. Did you know? And I'm like, no. And so I would learn things. Oh, okay. So that but just spoke to me. Oh, wow. Of all the countries in the world, you pick Romania to read about? That shows that he cares. And then when you learn, you can pray for their countries. And you can say, hey, you know, I read this about your country. What do you think? And again, it goes back to that political, like, don't talk politics. And, just don't believe that myth. So here are just a couple of examples from China. It's like just a quick, it's no sound, but a quick video of, so you might have heard about this digital dictatorship that China has been working on. So literally it's like that. So they want to exert control over their entire, all the 1.4 billion citizens. And they developed this thing. You see each one has something written here and the number. So that's their social credit. So each and every single human being has a social credit, will have by next year, it will be all over, a social credit that, so whatever you do, I heard like if you're a pregnant woman and you buy diapers, then your social credit goes up because you're a responsible citizen taking care of your child. All kinds of things that they're developing, and there are already 10 million Chinese on blacklisted because their social credit is very low. And if your social credit is very low, then you cannot buy a train ticket to go visit your family. You cannot do anything, really. You're tied to your house. It's terrible. So anyways, what does that mean for our Chinese students? Ask them. You know, some might say, I think it's great. I think it's a wonderful way of being good citizens. Some might say, ew. And we have some Chinese here. You can ask them more details. I know a little bit, but they know a lot more. So that's just an example of news. And then you might have seen this. You know, it's been in the news recently about the situation in Kashmir. And you could talk about this with your Indian or Pakistani friends. It has been something for years that's been a state that's been a tension between the two countries. But just asking, without bringing your U.S. political views into play, without sharing what you believe, okay, you know, just saying, hey, I'm not, you know, upholding my views. I'm just wanting to know, what's going on? Do you have family close to there? Do you have friends close to there? How can I pray? What is going on, you know? And so just showing care in that way. Right now, it's a Muslim majority state, and India is under Indian administration. And so the Indian government revoked the special status that was accorded to them. And for weeks now, 8 million people have been in lockdown. They don't have internet and cell phone connection. They've been disconnected. So just reason for us to pray. Okay. Continuing being a learner, a last one that I want to share is looking for bridges to the gospel in their cultural context. Could someone read for us the passage from Acts 17 that I listed in the handout? Thank you. And that's a really important passage for international students, because what that tells me is that the year I was born, the family I was born, the country I was born is not by mistake. And that even then, God did that. Why? So that I would seek out and find him, even though he's not far from any one of us. What that tells me is that there's elements in our culture that God can redeem, that we can connect, that we can find bridges to the gospel. And this is just an example. There's so many. And again, that's how you're a learner. How do you find out about these? And Shamita will share later about festivals. There's a lot of myths that about festival things, you know, like legends that you can find out. And the way you can find out is by asking, hey, is there, what? Tell me about your festivals. Tell me about what you celebrate. What does that mean? And where does it come from? And all these things. Sometimes they might not know. They have to, oh, let me Google. I don't know where it comes from, things like that. So this is just one example. Can someone read the legend of the Chinese New Year, the paragraph that I listed in your handout?
Chinese. Literally translated, it means to pass over Yin or overcome Yin. Long ago in the mountains, there was a whole human creature named Yin. Every year on the first day, the first day of the year, the creature would awaken and descend upon the village. He would eat all the grain and livestock. But there were many unfortunately children stuck outside, they would disappear. The villagers lived in fear of this beast and boarded up their houses on this night to protect their families. One year, right before this event was to occur, an old man visited the village. The old man informed them, the beast of the spirit does not like the color of red. He fears the wizard. Spread across the village, hanging red signs on every door, making loud noises with drums, music, and fireworks. And to protect your children, give them face masks and lanterns to protect them. The villagers did as the old man instructed, and Nian never returned again. What event in the Bible does this legend relate to?
Yeah. So there you go. You can find the connection and start sharing. Well, you know, that's interesting. There's a story in the Bible. Can I share with you that's similar? That brings some elements of similarity. And can I share with you? And then maybe if you have time over the same visit or later, you can talk about, okay, that lamb from that Passover. Eventually, the lamb the blood of the lamb that protected the Israelites. That later we learn the ultimate lamb, that was Jesus. So this is just an example. Okay, so what was the first one? Be a blessing. And the second one? A learner. And then the third one, be a trader. That means to trade personal and cultural experiences with your international friends. And as you continue to learn about their beliefs, you also get to share about your Christian beliefs. How this relationship with the God of the universe, how that is transforming your life. So I'd like for us to actually split into groups. So you see there's five different topics. There's this card game. It's called Perspective Card Game. And it's created by Crew. And what I'll do is, in the card game, there's these five topics that it's a very non-threatening way of saying, hey, I've got this card game, and it touches on issues like human nature and the nature of God and meaning and purpose of life. And I'm just curious to find out, what do you think about this stuff? And so you can use these in a non-threatening way to find out where they are at spiritually, and then to gain a kind of, you also have the right to share what you believe, and it's also represented in the cards. And that's taking a risk. I think faith is spelled R-I-S-K. risk. You could get hurt, and you could get offended, and they could get offended and make people mad. You know, it's possible. You don't know. No, but when you do it in an appropriate way, I don't think people would get mad. And as the Lord opens the door. So what I'd like to do, actually, I'm going to invite Xiaoyan to share a little bit of how she experienced, how her experience has been in using these cards with her international friends. And then I'll have us split into the five groups, and then you'll get to practice a little bit.
Hi, everyone. My name is Dora, and now I'm currently a trainee intern with IFA. So I remember last time when I was when I got a chance to play this perspective card with my friend. So it's with a Chinese girl. She's majoring in law. And yeah, so after playing some board games, after building some kind of like relationship, so I started to ask her, do you want to like play another game, which will get into a more deep like conversation and talk about more about like spiritual stuff. And she's like, yeah, sure. Like, who doesn't like games? Yeah, I feel like this is just like such a nice tool to just open a spiritual discussion. And yeah, and when you are like playing this game, you got to really learn what the person's like spiritual background and yeah, what they believe. And at the same time, because like everybody needs to be participate in this game, so you got to share what you believe and share the gospel, the good news. Yeah, which is like a wonderful way to yeah share the gospel. Yeah, so yeah. Because that girl, she never like have this kind of spiritual conversation with any her friends. So I remember that day. Yeah, we just end up talking few hours in the coffee shop. Yeah, so yeah, it's great, and yeah, got to learn so much what she learned from her class, from what her professor taught us about like what. What she should believe, yeah, as a student in a traditional Chinese college, yeah. So, yeah, like I definitely will encourage like everyone to use these cards if you like have the fear to feel like sharing the gospel with an international friend. It's challenging or like maybe yeah, threatening, yeah. So I think this is a good game to really go into. Deep conversation, and yeah.
Thank you. So we have these five topics, and I think there's four tables right there. So you could sit at your tables, and there's one here. So I guess these two tables, if you could choose which one of the topics you want to go to, and then I'll hand out the cards for that topic. And then you can select one, you take one card, and pretend that that's your belief, whatever the card tells you. You know, like, I believe that Jesus is a liar, lunatic, or a legend. You know, that's one of the cards, for example. So just pretend and then share with each other. Hey, what do you believe? What do you believe? And you kind of pretend that you're holding that view that you have, the card that you have in your hand. So, sorry? So you can pick, you guys, these two tables can pick whichever you want to go to. Because there's five topics. Yeah, so the five tables on the sides, you can sit where you are. Let me see, I'll hand this one. Can you hand this one to them? Human nature, then here's Jesus, and so hand out the cards. Nature of God, here. So you can hang out the cards. Here. And then this one is meaning and purpose of life. Here are the cards. And then source of spiritual truth. So here are the cards. Yes. So share with each other. You hold a card, and that's your worldview. So just share with each other. So what I believe is this. And you kind of read what you have on your card. And just share with each other. This is what I believe. And then you find out for somebody else. What do they believe? Okay. Let's come back together. Because Shomita has a really cool mini presentation ready. And I want to share one more thing before that. At the end, just leave the cards on the table before you leave, and I'll collect them. So you can buy the perspective cards on the crew website, or you can also download the app. It's a small, like, $2.99, I think, for the app. But it gives you a lot of instructions, because I know you have questions, and I didn't have time to give you all the instructions in the cards. But they do give you a lot of good stuff that you can learn to use the tool in a way that's beneficial. And actually, they have the cards also, I think, in Spanish. They might have it in some other language. So just, you can check. It's a good tool. And finally, I turned off so that Shomita can use this. But the last... Okay, so being, what was the first one?
be a blessing, be a learner, be a trader, and the last one is be a storyteller. Rich alluded to that in his plenary talk. Being a storyteller is so important for us to learn the stories in the Bible, to know what they are. Not just like generic kind of, oh yeah, the story of David and Goliath, but to actually know details, to learn Bible stories. It's so important because they remember the stories. They will not remember if you open the Bible and read with them and that they might remember, but if you tell the story, it comes alive when you tell it and you ask questions about it. So I have a tool for you. Dora, could you help me hand these out? It's a little booklet called The Father's Love, and these you can keep. And it's the story of the prodigal son written from an honor shame perspective. And it's really, really good. The questions are so wonderful in helping you get in the shoes of the person that's the characters of the story. And actually, let me see, do we have time? So we started 10 minutes late. Can we end 10 minutes late? Can we? Because I have some prizes and I really want to give them. But for that, I need two volunteers. Two volunteers. One of you is going to be the American friend and one of you is going to be the international friend. You pick. And we might not go through the whole story, but the American friend, you're going to want to share with the international, hey, you know, I have this booklet and I want to walk you through this story in the Bible that's, to me, very meaningful. And it talks about the Father's love. Can I and just read what... And then you respond. And then when you... See, there's questions. There's questions on the side. And then you want to ask her those questions or these questions and then let her respond. So just try it out.
Okay. Can you?
So I'll be the international.
We'll stay in close.
How's that?
Okay.
Okay. So I have this booklet, and I'm just curious about some things. I'm new to this country, and I just don't know some certain things. And I was wondering, what makes, after this story, Jesus makes these beautiful stories.
The American friend.
Oh, she
will be,
yes.
She will be
she's
leading
American.
You through the questions.
Oh,
you're learning.
I'm the American. I bet she's going to be the American.
Oh, I don't know. You guys decide.
Yeah,
oh.
I said she's blonde. She can be the American.
Oh, that's why you said that. I thought I was going to be the Scandinavian. It's okay.
Okay.
We got
the
our...
The American leads the international through the questions.
Oh, so, okay. I'm the American. Okay, so
do you not
I
like
asked
me?
The questions.
But no, here.
Tell the story.
I'm
going to
tell the story
you
first. There was a man who had two sons. I'm telling you a story today.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There was a man who had two sons, and the younger son said to his father, "Give me now the part of your property that I am supposed to receive someday." So the father divided his wealth between his two sons. Might ask the question before I finish the whole story.
Just whenever
need to know.
You feel like
okay.
It makes sense.
So I'm just, not long after that, the younger son sold the share of the property and left home with the money, and he traveled far away to another country. And I wanted to know, in reading this story about there being a man who had two sons, and he wanted his property. So what made the younger son's demand so insulting and hurtful, do you think?
I'm assuming that it would be because he, first of all, was leaving the family, and then it seems like usually we don't get an inheritance until our parent dies. And he was asking for it now.
Okay.
Is that the right answer?
Well, it's not so much that there's a right answer. I was just kind of curious about that, about why. But it's a parable about, why he's a younger son, Jesus, and an older son. And the younger son's now asking, for an inheritance.
It seems disrespectful.
Yeah, it is correct in a culture. He's asking for something and that's out of the ordinary. That is true. And why did the father, do you think, would agree to allow that to happen, even though the father doesn't typically do that, like you just said. It's disrespectful. Why would he allow his son to leave and follow through and say it's okay?
Maybe to try to save the relationship. The son didn't want to be with him. Maybe he was hoping to salvage something from that relationship.
Sounded like he loved his son a lot, yeah. He wanted to keep that relationship. It was more important to him. Sounds like even than his own money, maybe. I don't know. That's not easy. It's true. I agree. I mean, that does sound like a very tough thing. And then the story goes on to say there, his son, he wasted his money. He lived like a fool. And after he spent everything he had, there was this terrible famine, lack of food throughout the country. And he was hungry. He needed money. So he went and he got a job, and one of the people who had lived there, the man sent him into, it was a field that was meant to feed pigs, and he was so hungry, he wanted to eat the food, and the pigs were eating it, that they were eating, and nobody gave him anything. So why do you think his actions were so bad, this son?
It says he wasted his money, so
okay.
he lived like a fool. That's not very good.
Yeah, I mean, after getting all that money, you're right. Not the best decisions. And how was he trying to stay alive?
He got a yucky job.
Yeah, that sounds like it.
He wasn't eating steak.
No.
He was just surviving.
Yeah. So he runs out of money and he's eating pig food. Not so good. And then, so the son revealed that he has been very foolish. He realized, rather, that he had been very foolish, and he thought, all my father's hired workers have plenty of food, and here I am almost dead because I have almost nothing to eat. So he thought, I will leave, and I'm going to go to my father, and I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against God and have done wrong to you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son, but let us be like one, so let me just be like one of your hired workers. So why do you think he finally gained some humility?
It seems like he didn't have anything left. There was no place to go.
Yeah. He didn't really have any choice, did he? So is there a way out for him, do you think?
It's a question.
Yeah, so what is his choices, it looks like? What does he have as a choice?
It says, stay here, go home and be a slave, or steal the pigs.
Yeah.
That might be worse.
I'm like, or what else, right? What's his other choice? I guess he could die. That wouldn't be so good. There's some other options that are unknown. So then he did. He left. He went. So, go on.
Good job. Okay. Thank you. Okay, so that was, you know, you got to see a little bit of the interaction. And, of course, with your international friend, you might get totally different answers from their cultural perspective that might be different than your own. So I encourage you to, this is just a tool, and it helps you because it has the questions already there. But other Bible stories, just thinking about what do these characters do and say, and what does it show us about them, about what they're thinking, and all these kind of questions that you can investigate with your friends. But sharing the Bible stories are really valuable. So I have two prizes for you. Actually, I have two perspective card games. So you'll get to use them. I hope you will use them many times. Okay, and I hope that you use the Father's Love booklet. My husband and I shared over lunch with a Japanese friend, a student, when we were in Grand Rapids. And when after we walked through the story and he interacted with the questions, at the end he started sharing about his father. Because really, when we get to, it's about the father's love. And he started sharing, he said, my father didn't love me like this. I've never known this kind of love from my father. And we were shocked because Japanese don't share about their family, you know, especially if there's something, it's about saving face. So the fact that he was sharing that, we're like, oh man, we struck a chord. And so it was just a beautiful conversation. And so you never know what God will bring from the stories that we share and how they apply in our lives. Okay, I'll invite Shamita now to come and share. She prepared some things for us. So she'll have about 5 to 10 minutes to share.
So I help out with IFI ministry, specifically with Indian ministry, in the specifics of the Hindu background students. Having come from a Hindu background, I have a pretty unique experience in this. And the first thing I wanted to encourage you guys is don't ever lose hope. There might be students that you meet that initially will seem hostile or apathetic and not care. So with me, I was very proud of my Hindu background. I was a Brahmin, and a good Brahmin at that. And though I had a lot of Christian friends, one of my childhood best friends was Christian. Anytime someone talked to me about Christianity or Jesus, I had this like knee-jerk effect of, no, don't talk to me. I have my religion, you keep yours. And it was because I really didn't understand. But Jesus was very, very patient with me, and he kept putting very faithful people like you into my life who would love me and befriend me and continue to have spiritual conversations with me. And though in front of them, I would debate, I would argue, I would demean them. I actually made one person cry. It was bad. When I was by myself, I would start reflecting on these conversations. I would start thinking about how they treated me, and I would be like, why are they so kind? Why are they so loving? Why are they so different than other religious people? Is it possible the things that they're saying is actually true? And over time, as I read the Bible and talked to more people, I actually came to faith in Jesus, and therefore I'm talking to you about talking to other people. So the verses I like to remember is in Hebrews, where God says his word is living and active, and it will do what it's set out to do. And in 1 Corinthians 15, it says, be steadfast and immovable, because your work is not in vain. And I'm living proof of that. So the two areas I want to talk about is being a blessing and being a traitor. The idea of being a blessing, I wanted to bring in my father's story. When I came to tell my parents that I now follow Yeshu or Jesus, I was terrified. I thought I would get hit. I thought I would be disowned. I thought at least they would be disappointed in me. And I was especially terrified of my father. And so I told them one day, and he was actually more supportive than anyone else in my family. Everybody else laughed at me and my family, but my father was like, no, this is a good thing. So I asked him why he thought it was a good thing. When he first moved to the U.S., he had no one here except for his brother, and his brother was in a lot of help. But he met an Indian pastor, and that pastor helped him with his visa, helped him find a job, helped him move in, took care of him as a friend, shared a Bible with him, the same Bible 20 years later that I read to come to know Jesus. So being a blessing really does help. You may not see the fruit or the benefits immediately, but who knows, maybe a generation down the line or even with that person, they'll come to know God. My father now has accepted Jesus. I know. So please pray that he becomes a lifelong disciple of him. The second thing is being a traitor. So in order to do that, you need to learn about your students. You need to know what their dislikes are, what their likes are, their family. Ask them questions. Get to know them as friends. And what I like to do before meeting a student or anyone is I pray through Colossians 4:2-6. It says, devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim him clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So I pray that prayer. Please, give me open doors. Help me be wise in how I should act. Let my words be gracious, filled with salt. And I look for those open doors. Some of the open doors I've found, especially with Indian students, is talking to them about festivals that they attend, or if they go to a temple, or for Sikhs, if they go to Gurdwara. When I talk to them about their festivals, I like to know why they're going, what's the purpose, what they like to do there, just genuinely inquisitive. And as I talk to them more and more and allow them to express to me what their beliefs are, I'll ask even more questions. I stray away from things like, that's strange, that's weird, that's wrong, because you don't want to be disrespectful. The Lord tells us to give the hope that's in us through gentleness and respect. So I'll say things like, I'm curious. So an example of this is one of my friends was telling me about how she believes in Shiva. And I said, I'm curious. So Shiva has done this and this in this story you told me, but he's supposed to be perfect, right? Because he's God. And she was like, oh, yeah, I guess. I was like, but does that sound perfect, what he did? And then she thought about it. She didn't say anything. She just said, oh, that's interesting because I never thought about that. Or I'll say, I'm confused. What about this story that you said? I don't quite understand this. I'm curious, I'm confused is not threatening. So I just made a quick chart. I won't go through it, but it's the idea of, especially in Indian students, there's a lot of different beliefs. And some you'll hear go to festivals, go to temples, go to Gurdwara. They celebrate these things, but they actually only do it because their parents have done it. They don't really believe in it. And so they're actually atheist or agnostic. Some actually believe in the religious texts. So some Hindus, Jains, people who go to Sai Baba, Buddhism, or Sikhs actually believe in these texts, but they don't quite know if there's a God out there. And some will definitely believe in the text, but they feel like it's just a metaphor for how the world works. So they're actually atheists. In these students, I like to talk to them as I would any other atheist or agnostic friend and ask them the same questions I would then. With my friends who believe in deities, whether it's one deity or multiple, not all Hindus, by the way, believe in multiple deities. Some only believe in one. I will ask them specifically about their deities, the characteristics of the deities and things like that, and then ask these questions. I'm curious. I'm confused. The other way that I've seen open doors is when they share with me what they're going through, what suffering that they're going through. That's an amazing opportunity to listen, empathize. And then once they feel like they've been heard, to be able to even request, can I pray for you? And Phil, great timing, was someone who helped me with this, is it's a great opportunity to show them the power of Jesus. Because as you pray for them, you can then come back to them and say, hey, how did that, what happened with that? And if they said nothing, be like, I'm still praying for you. It's also a great opportunity if you've struggled with something similar to be able to share with them the comfort that Jesus has given you. Because that's what he tells us to do, right? Comfort others as I have comforted you. Now, open doors can come in different forms. I've seen Rich literally have a spiritual conversation after a student asked him what his favorite part of the fair was. I'm not at that level. Someday, maybe. But he did it so naturally, it made sense. I'd steer away from words like conversion, missions, ministry, and other words that, though are familiar in Christian lingo, may have really bad connotations in different cultures. In my culture, the idea of conversion comes from British imperial rule. And people would be converted, which means they'd be forced to say they accept Jesus. And then they would have to give up their culture. They would have to dress British. They would have to speak British English. So, I know. Not just English, but British English. Much harder. Sorry for any British people here. So I've learned to focus on the fact that Jesus is a God of all nations, as Psalms 156 says. I like to talk about how Jesus created all people of all nations. He sacrificed for all people of all nations. and his forgiveness is for all people of all nations. And I like to talk about the fact that they can still maintain their culture. So right now I'm wearing a kurta because I have dance practice right after this. That it's okay for them to celebrate their culture as they give gratitude to Jesus. You don't have to choose one or the other. The other thing I like to talk about is free will. My last story is one of my best friends, who's Hindu, asked me if I wanted to convert her. Right. So I said no. I said, I'm grateful for what Yeshua or Jesus has done for me in promising me eternal life and a relationship with him forever. And I love you so much that, of course, I want to share this with you, and I want to be with you forever. And I believe that this is how you and I can be together with him forever. So, of course, I want you to share this gift, but I know that God respects your free will, and as do I. So, and I know that it's not belief if someone forces you. So I hope these experiences can be a benefit for you. Thank you.
Thank you, Shomita. Okay, we'll end now. We're open into the other room. I'll just end with a prayer for us, and then we'll be released. I'll pray first in Romanian. You'll hear a different language. and then in English. Domnul meu, îți mulțumesc pentru timpul acesta, îți mulțumesc pentru binecuvântările tale, pentru dragostea ta pentru fiecare dintre noi și pentru dragostea ta pentru studenții internaționali pe care tu îi aduci aici din întreaga lume. Îți aduc glorie ție pentru cât de minunat ești tu și cât de bun ești tu cu noi și mă rog ca tu să-i binecuvintezi pe fiecare dintre prietenii noștri aici, Doamne, ca tu să le dai înțelepciune și deschidere, Doamne, să vorbească cu prietenilor despre tine și despre dragostea ta. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this time. I thank you for these beautiful people of yours, brothers and sisters. Thank you that the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, is so beautiful and so multicolored and multicultural. Thank you that you love every single one of us and every single international that steps foot on this land. Thank you for the love that you've put in our hearts for them. And I pray that you will grow that love more and more. And that indeed, Lord, these jars of clay that we are, broken and vulnerable and weak, that surpassing power, that treasure that is in us will be seen by our international friends. Give us wisdom and open doors and in a way that it will be such a blessing for them. And thank you so much for Shomita and Dora and how they shared. And I pray that we'll take these tools and implement them with our friends and see you at work in miraculous ways. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.